We're joined by Dr. Ellie Sansom from Curtin Space Science and Technology Centre. Good morning. Thanks for joining me on The Record.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So to begin with, could you explain what an exoplanet is?
Yeah, sure. So we are on our own planet Earth here, which goes around our sun. And our sun is basically the centre of our solar system. And there's 8 different planets going around our sun with lots and lots of other asteroids and dwarf planets. And if we want to go beyond our sun to look at some of the other stars that are really, really far away, some of them are still in our own galaxy. Some are in galaxies even further away. There are billions and billions of stars out there. And maybe at the beginning we thought, well, maybe we're alone. We're the only star that has a planets going around it, a solar system like our own. But as we started looking at these distant stars, we're actually able to see that there are planets circling those ones as well. So planets that are revolving around a different star than our sun is what we call an exoplanet.
It's always amazing to me that we can discover things like this, which are many, many light years away. How did the James Webb Space Telescope discover this exoplanet?
Yeah, it is incredible that we can see that far away. And so the James Webb Space Telescope is actually in orbit, so it doesn't have our atmosphere to get in the way. It's actually out in space, circling the Earth, looking out away from Earth. And it's basically, it looks at a star out... it's actually designed to try and look at how the early universe and the Big Bang, but it, obviously it's so sensitive that it can do these sorts of measurements as well. So if it looks at a star that's really far away, it's quite interesting. So to figure out if there's something that goes in front of it, we basically just look at that star, look at how bright it is, and we measure the brightness just with time. And if there's any sort of dip in that brightness, a bit like when we have a solar eclipse, like what's going to happen in Exmouth in April, when something comes in front of that star, that brightness drops, and we can figure out that there must be something that's blocking that light. And by figuring out how much light is lost, we can get an idea of the size, and we can figure out if it goes around that star and goes behind it. There's actually a dip in the brightness then as well, because the sun is actually blocking that planet's light as well. So we can get an idea of how fast it's going around that sun by watching just the brightness of the star. So it really depends how sensitive these telescopes are. If they're not very sensitive, obviously you're just going to be able to see the starlight, and then you're not going to be able to measure any changes in brightness. Just depending on how big these planets are. If they're massive planets like Jupiter, you get quite a big dip, because it's a large planet blocking that sunlight, that starlight. And so up till now, most of the exoplanets we've discovered are really, really big, giant planets that we think are more like Jupiter. So to be able to measure one like this, that's an Earth-like planet, that's actually relatively small in kind of exoplanet terms. It's actually really, really small. So you have to have that sensitivity to detect that really, really small change in brightness from that foreign star.
It's amazing that you can discover these things just from keeping an eye on, I'm sure there's a lot more technical thing aspects involved, but keeping an eye on the starlight and the brightness of it, which has led to this discovery. How far away is this exoplanet?
So this one is around a star that's around 41 light years away. So a light year is actually a measure of distance that we use in astronomical terms, because we can't use kilometers. It's billions of kilometers, and it's kind of just hard to wrap your head around that. So we use a term called light years, and it's actually the distance that light takes to travel in 1 year. It's 41 light years away. So it's not it's still within our galaxy, but probably too far away to ever visit in our lifetimes, or in quite a few.
You're listening to On The Record. We're joined by Dr. Ellie Sansom from Curtin Space Science and Technology Centre, and we're chatting about the recent exoplanet discovered by NASA's James Webb Space Telescope. And now it's the first one to be discovered with this telescope. How significant is this discovery and why?
what's really interesting about the James Webb Space Telescope compared to others that have been looking at, for these exoplanets is just how sensitive it is. And something that's quite exciting about the James Webb Space Telescope is that it doesn't just look in optical light, so light that we see with our own eyes. There's a whole spectrum of light that we can't actually see with our own eyes, and one of them is the infrared. And there's a, when you look in that range, you can actually get an idea of planetary atmospheres as well. So although it hasn't got the measurements so far for this planet, that's what the James Webb Space Telescope will be bringing to exoplanet discoveries, is that precision of looking for planetary other exoplanet atmospheres. Are there habitable worlds out there like Earth that maybe have an oxygen atmosphere around them that we could then possibly propose there might be life out there in our own galaxy?
Yes, that actually works straight onto my next question. How do planets form, and what does make a planet habitable?
So planets form from this big ball of gas and dust when the star forms itself, and most of the material collapses and ignites and forms a star in the middle, and the disk of gas and dust around it slowly kind of sticks together and makes up small what we call protoplanets, and the leftovers of that in our own solar system are the asteroids. So asteroids in our own solar system are the leftovers of when our solar system formed and didn't quite make it into a planet. And there's basically an area of our solar system called the asteroid belt that's between Mars and Jupiter that is full. It's called the asteroid belt, and the main asteroid belt, and it's full of asteroids, which basically was probably a failed planet in that area of our own solar system. So by looking at asteroids in our own solar system, we're actually able to get an idea of what it was like in the early days and how solar systems in general are forming. And we can get an idea of those asteroids by sending sample return missions to them. So there's a few big ones that have happened recently with the Japanese Space Agency's Hayabusa 1 and Hayabusa 2 spacecraft, which have both brought back incredibly pristine samples from asteroids from our own solar system. And NASA's OSIRIS-REx is due to come back middle of next year, which will be really exciting as well, so we can study those. And something that another way we can look at that is meteorites. So meteorites are also these pristine samples of our early solar system, and we can use them to get an idea of how planets formed and evolved. And for us here in our solar system, we can even use them to predict maybe why there's life on Earth, where our life came from, where our water came from. And that's something that I work on here at Curtin University, is a project called the Desert Fireball Network. And we have cameras across the outback looking for really, really bright shooting stars that come through our atmosphere that might drop meteorites. And what's really exciting about that is not only can we look at those, go and recover those meteorites and learn so much about our own solar system, but we can actually with the way that our cameras are set up, we can triangulate how that shooting star comes through our atmosphere, a bit like how our own eyes can gauge distance, and we can calculate where in our solar system those meteorites come from. And putting that meteorite in context in our solar system is pretty unique. There's probably only about 50 meteorites ever that have that orbital spatial context that we call it, so we know where they come from in our solar system. And that's basically starting to build a bit more of a geological map. I guess you can't really say geological, because geological is for Earth, but we're trying to get that idea of the chemistry of our own solar system, and soon we should be able to start matching that up with the astronomy side of exoplanets and learning a little bit more, being able to apply that to solar systems beyond and to other areas of our galaxy.
Do you think there's a high possibility of finding an exoplanet which does have a habitable place? Like, we always think of trying to find a place similar to Earth, but do you think the answer might lie on an exoplanet?
I think so, for sure. When we're trying to figure out where the planet is habitable, we're trying to look at where it sits compared to its home sun or star? Is it like Earth here? We're in what we call a Goldilocks zone. It's nice and warm, close to our sun, but it's not too hot. So we can look at the planets either side of us. We've got further out, we've got Mars, which doesn't get enough sunlight to keep it warm enough for life. And then we've got one further in, closer to the sun than us, which is Venus, which is too hot. And too hot for life. So we sit in a lovely little spot where it's just perfect, basically. And we've got water, and looking at our atmosphere that protects us from all the radiation from our sun. So we can start looking for that in exoplanets as well. Is what distance are they from their home stars? Are they in that nice little Goldilocks zone? Can we look at their atmospheres to check out water? And the chemistry of their atmosphere, does it look like it would be supportable for the life that we know here? Because obviously life is, we only know what we know here, and that's that life likes an oxygen and nitrogen atmosphere. Obviously there might be other types of life that like something different, but this is all we know. So we can start searching for worlds like Earth, and then I'm sure there are quite a few out there that, and then it would be interesting to see whether evolution works the same way outside of our own solar system.
It definitely will be interesting to see how this all unfolds, and if we do one day find a planet with a habitable place or something similar to Earth. We've been talking about the discovery of the exoplanet discovered by the James Webb Space Telescope. But just to end off, with this discovery, what might we see this year and the next few years in terms of exoplanet research?
I think it's going to be a huge kickoff with how many exoplanets are going to be discovered. And what's really interesting is that that's space between geologists who can look at the rocks and understand our own planet here on Earth, and then astronomers who are using these very high precision instruments to look at beyond our own solar system. And then what sits there in the middle is planetary science. It's where we kind of apply those geological Earth-based techniques to other planets beyond Earth, such as currently it's only within our own solar system, but that's definitely going slowly beyond our own solar system to apply to these exoplanets. So really seeing how that space evolves and how planetary science is going to become quite a big player in this.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on the record this morning and telling us all about the exoplanet discovery.
Thank you for having me.